The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's brand new, same 10 paragraphs, but with 5 bullet points. And go out and look at our 30-day program. That's a brand new ebook. If you like power rack and you like sandbags, you're going to love this. And this is a program that you can build upon for the rest of your life. And I'm sure I'm going to have more chapters to it, but we want to get something started and get it out there. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Those are all out there. Right now, they're all free products. Those are not cheap products. They cost a lot of money to produce, but we want people to come in. Check them out. Sign up. You'll be part of the family. That's the idea. We're offering lots of value for nothing. We're going to talk more, too. Now we have 3 different levels of advertising here. We got to get some money in here to keep this big beast rolling because it costs a lot of money to run this show, and this show is growing so big that it's taking a life of its own on. So come on in. Let's all work together, and we'll get it all done. Also, too, don't forget to go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We have our good, good friend Dr. William Wong on with us, and he is a big-time favorite here. I'm going to give you some information about this gentleman, and this is – wait till you hear this if you've never heard it before. He's a classical naturopath, a Ph.D., exercise physiologist, certified athletic trainer, that's AATA, certified sports medicine trainer, that's ASMA, World Sports Medicine Hall of Fame member, and World Martial Arts Hall of Fame member. He also has his own podcast. He has the best supplements in the world. He's very generous with me with some things every month. I'm not going to get into that. But the man has been nothing but an asset to us and a hell of a friend to me. And I've known Dr. Wong long before we got into Motivation and Muscle. And he is one of the guys here. He's got a wealth of knowledge. And as I've said a million times, I'm going to get every guy on here like him because they have seen things. They have done things that I haven't even done. And I think that this is what we need. We need to honor both new and I'll say, I'm not going to say old. What I'm going to say, it's more like the style that I have been reading about and growing up with now that was way before my time. A lot of people use old school. I guess we can say it. It's just they've got a different dynamic on things. And that's why I like talking to Dr. Wong so much because he has a different take on everything. I can appreciate that. And obviously, our family does too. Dr. Wong, welcome back, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back on board, Eric. And you know, old is okay. I'm old. I'll admit to being old.
Look, you're not old in your voice, and you're doing shit that a 35-year-old can't do anymore.
Well, yeah, hell, that's because all the 35-year-olds have been eating soy for their freaking lives. That's
little, as we call them here, soy boys.
Little limp wrist, thin fingered, pencil neck. Yeah, so and so.
But you know, remember they used to always go a bunch of pencil necks and all that. It's just unbelievable. But we're going to talk about a subject that's very popular here, testosterone. But we're going to talk about something I really love here. And I had it written down, the exact name I wanted to call it, because that's what I want to do. And probably now, where did I put the damn thing? I probably wrote it on a different page. But we're going to get into – oh, let me see. Nope, that's not it either. We're going to just basically get into testosterone via the gym and via – we're going to talk about some of Dr. Wong's supplements. Obviously, it's going to get into getting yourself back in the game quicker. But we're going to jump on a few things here with training. Now, everybody's probably going to say, well, we've heard this before, but obviously enough people aren't hearing it because they're always taking this supplement, that supplement, this supplement, and they're spending a lot of money for expensive piss. So let's get into this. So, Dr. Wong, obviously, I'm going to let you start everything right off. Anything you want to start, add, or go into before we start talking about exercises, and we'll just take it from there, please.
You know, when we talk about exercise producing testosterone, we run into a dichotomy. The dichotomy is this. If you do a really heavy workout, we'll talk about how what the parameters are in a bit. If we do a really heavy workout that's kind of heavy and intense, we will have an increased testosterone level for about an hour to an hour and a half post-workout. The dichotomy is if you put too many of those workouts together, then you'll overtrain and you'll become estrogen dominant. The statistics are this. After every Olympic Games, all of the Olympic athletes, worn down, tired, they're all estrogen dominant. At the height of boot camp, when the troops are at their angriest and they're really manly and they're, you know, whatever, they're so friggin' tired that they're all estrogen dominant because they've been overtraining. Take any team that is on the downside of their performance, they're all estrogen dominant. So while the individual workout may release testosterone, we have to be careful not to tag too many of those super intense workouts together without periods of rest. Remember that exercise is a stimulus response mechanism. So for every period of stimulus, we have to give ourselves an equal or greater period of response. So unless we time it right, all those testosterone-producing workouts will just make us estrogen dominant.
Okay. Now, so when we're – all right, for the other night, I'll just give you what I did, and I'm going to go tomorrow night. I'm a little sore today, second day, but I feel I'll be recovered fully. Now, I did something the other night which was pretty brutal. It wasn't the heaviest thing I've ever done, but I'll tell you exactly how I went. Now, I want to tell everybody before we start, I went from exercise to exercise to exercise. At anything, it would be loading and get right under it. So I did a dead stop laying on the floor. It's the old school floor press, no bench.
Right.
All right? And I did a close grip for multiple singles with 301 and a half. Cool. Okay, dead stop. All right? Got out from under there. I had another Olympic bar going. And I did, they call them in the old days, they're like a suitcase lift. So you got a 44-pound Olympic bar stripped. And what I would do is I'd throw a set of rods up, I don't know, I think it was two holes up, grab it in the center, pull it as hard as I could, do whatever count I wanted to put it, go to the left hand, do that, and then take both hands, clean grip style, and try to basically rip that lagged rack right out of the floor if I could.
Right.
From there, I went, and there used to be a thing that David Horn, who's in a, probably one of the best grip guys in the universe, used to sell many years ago, probably about 5 years ago I got it. He sells the rings. They are the exact replicas that are they use to pull the Dinny Stones.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a pair of those, the big ring and the small ring, and it's got loaders that he sends with it. I took a 150-pounder on there on the small ring from the pull and did one rep on each side. And from there, I went to the 240-pound Hoosa steel stone and lifted it from just below mid-shin, and the idea was to hold it for 1 minute. Now, I repeated every lift approximately five rounds. So five rounds benches, five rounds with the ISO, five rounds with the pull with the Dinny ring, and five rounds with a one-minute hold with the Hoosa steel stone. Now, that would have broke most people in half, and they weren't limit weight strength, but you can't really, until you're conditioned for that, you really aren't too wise trying to go limit weights with that, because then you can really park your ass on the curb for a while. All right, so I was out of there probably, and I did neck at the end. I did the old school Nautilus four-way. All right, so that's what I did for the night. Approximately that was an hour and 5 minutes, really a little bit over, more than I should have, But you got to remember, I mean, that's a lot of shit, especially when you're doing the holds. At that point, all right, where am I now? Like, all right, I want to go tomorrow night, so I wouldn't go to 7:30 p.m. here, Eastern Standard Time. Figure I finished Wednesday night at probably approximately, I went out there at 7:30, did my warm-up. That was 15 minutes. I was done probably around 9:05. Mm-hmm. All right, so here we are sitting here talking. We'll use me as the example. Where am I? I mean, I don't feel destroyed. I don't really know yet. Would you feel I'm good to go tomorrow night at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in the meantime, we're going to shift off now to your supplementation. If I'm going to Dr. Wong after hearing this show, and we got, let's just go with people that have an average, you know, amount of money, what do we want to do to get set up? And let's say we can only go with two supplements right now. I have a feeling I know which one you're going to say first, but I'm going to let you do that. Where do we want to go to get our recovery back that much quicker?
Well, if you're looking to build testosterone to help you build tissue, then the supplement to use is the Andean Essence Max.
Okay.
The second thing you need, second most important thing, is zinc. Because you can't make testosterone without zinc. I'll add one more. You can't make testosterone without magnesium either. The zinc and the magnesium are the two essential mineral factors, the cofactors, to make a testosterone or any hormone, actually, whether it's thyroxine or progesterone or anything, you need mag and you need zinc. So unless you have those two, you don't make anything. Now, the Andean Essence will give you two things. It will give you the plant sterols that are one step away from being testosterone.
Okay.
And all the body has to do is take that one step, not three or four steps, not nine steps. Like for example, if you took DHEA, you're much more apt to have that turn into estrogen because there's so many steps that you have to do to turn that into testosterone that it can wander off and turn into something else. It doesn't necessarily have to turn into testosterone, and tests on human subjects have shown. Dr. Sid Galinsky took a bunch of bodybuilders, and he fed them all DHEA, fed or injected, I don't remember which, for several weeks, I think for several months.
Yeah.
And he hormone tested them every single weekend to see where they were at. The only test of this kind that I've ever heard to see what DHEA actually did. And in all of them, in every single bodybuilder he was monitoring and testing, the DHEA only turned into estrogen. Some of these guys were actually growing bitch tits.
Oh, shit.
So, you know, so much for DHEA being essential. So it turns out that supplemental DHEA, exogenous from the outside DHEA, only turns into estrogen.
Wow.
So if we take, you know, Congress got rid of the other sterol that was one step away from testosterone. They got rid of the andro. Andro was great. The andro 417 always turned into testosterone. Hardly, there were some versions of andro that could become estrogen, but most of it turned into testosterone. Since Congress got rid of that, the only sterol left that's one step away is the Echetti sterol, and that's what's in maca. Tons of it is in maca.
Okay.
Now, we used to have to get that out of what? I think it was crickets. Imagine how many crickets you had to got. To get enough Echetti sterol. Luckily, they're fermenting the stuff now in vats like beer.
Yep.
But we get it out of the maca, and it works really well. So the Andean Essence has the 20-to-1 maca extract, not just raw maca powder. And on top of that, it's got, I think, a 18-to-1 ashwagandha extract to give you the luteinizing hormone. Now, the luteinizing hormone tells your balls to take that Echetti sterol and turn it into testosterone.
Yep.
So it's the trigger to take your testicles and make the sterol that you just put in work to turn into testosterone.
All right. So let's say the three someone orders the three from you, and I'm sure they're going to the Andean Essence, the zinc, and the mag. Now, Are we? I know what else. I take them. I know what it's saying on the bottle of take. But you and I have talked about body weight and what I'm putting myself under. So let's use me once again as the guinea pig. Those three products I have here, what do I want to take with the load I'm putting on myself constantly? And let's not forget about the load I'm doing here trying to get this business cooking.
Right.
Where do I go with this, Doc? Well, and I know what to take, but we can give an example.
Yeah. For most folks who aren't, who are, let's call them casual fitness folks.
Okay.
Or the spinners. or the guys who do the weight classes with the light weights and the very many reps. You might as well freaking wear butt floss if you do that. Those guys can take three of the Andean Essence twice a day, and they'll do just fine. I usually take 6 to 9. Okay, you can take more, and the more you take, the more energized and testosterone full you'll be. Excuse me. Now, the one thing that I have to warn folks about.
Yeah.
When you take a look at a pro-testosterone supplement, when you take a look at any supplement that's supposed to have an action, there are some supplements out there, this will build testosterone, this herb builds testosterone, that herb builds testosterone. And it's got like 20 different things. Each of them, shown by research, hold on a second, let me get rid of this. Each one of them is shown by research to build testosterone, but the problem is, there's so much crap inside one capsule that there's nothing in there in any amount sufficient to cause any changes in your body at all. It's just like taking too little of an antibiotic when you've got an infection.
Yep.
It ain't going to do anything. So the reason why there's only two or three ingredients in the Andean Essence, and one of the ingredients is to help absorption, has nothing to do with testosterone, is to help everything else soak in.
Mm-hmm.
Is because we have the ingredients there in a dosage in large enough to create a physiological action. Okay, now that we've got that out of the way, for hard-charging, heavy-lifting guys, three capsules, 3 to 4 times a day.
Okay.
And one or two of the zinc and one or two of those, excuse me, and 2 to 4 of the mag.
Okay.
If you're sweating a lot, like in your garage gym in the middle of the summer when you're just soaking freaking wet, the water is just pouring off of you, you might need 4 a day. Because the more you perspire, the more magnesium you're going to lose.
Okay. So the zinc you're going to take 2 to 3 a day then?
Just typically 2. You can do 3.
But you can do
much above 3, I wouldn't recommend.
Okay. So the Andy Essence though, I could do, 3 to 4 capsules 3 times a day?
Yeah.
That's awesome. I don't think I've ever taken 4. I'm going to start doing that.
Sometimes when folks need a boost, there are a lot of really heavy weight trainees out there.
Yep.
You take the Andean Essence about 30 minutes before a workout.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, and they swear that all their totals go up.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what it is? That's the, and I do miss the Andra. There's no doubt about it.
I love Andra.
That stuff was the real deal. And now the way you can do things, but I'll tell you what, those products you got are killer. There's no doubt. I mean, and Dr. Wong and I, we were talking before the show. We're going to do a show because this is his forte. Many, many years ago when I discovered him was enzymes. Wait till you hear this. We did one show quite a while ago. We'll see what happens from there. It's absolutely incredible. So we're going to get in on that too. But all right, so those three supplements would be excellent for anybody that's really looking for some boost in their training. Now, obviously, you and I have gone over the problem with soy. And, I don't think I've talked to you since the last time. I don't know. I'm sure you know about it, but I was stunned. Well, I shouldn't say stunned, but I was surprised this quick. And maybe it's been going on or they finally got caught. I love going through and looking at bread. Don't ask me why. It's probably the Italian thing. I love just looking at bread. And I wouldn't buy any of it, obviously. Did you know now they've got a marker on it which says It's basically they're using genetically. I don't want to say enhanced or whatever, but it's something to the effect that I know it's got to be in the wheat or whatever it is.
Gosh.
But they're using genetically something or other now in breads. Not only that, but soy.
Genetically modified soy has even more estrogen in it than regular soy.
Yep.
Because the estrogen is an insecticide. Well,
yep.
Frick, if it kills bugs, what's it going to do to you?
People don't get it, though.
No, they don't get it.
Because they'll say to you, well, it's probably not that much. I'm like, would you take a spoonful of Drano? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, what the hell?
Just a little spoon.
Yeah, just a little. It won't hurt, I promise. On the way down, it might feel like it's ripping my gut out, but, you know, no problem. We'll go to a doctor, and he'll give me some purple pill, and that piece of shit will take care of me then, right? I mean, come on, people. Wake up. But, all right, so we've got the three products right now that will definitely get you back in the ball game, without a doubt. Let's approach now, obviously. We know we've got only X. All right, I'll ask you this question. What do you feel? Let's go with a brutal workout, competition or not, but it's definitely the lifter is definitely a hardcore. Let's just go with that because we're leaning on this right now. What is a good amount of time to be in the gym?
About an hour to an hour and a half.
Okay. So, after that, we go reverse, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, okay. Bill Pearl once said that if you couldn't do it in 45 minutes, you couldn't do it.
And that's why the other day when I did that whole monster program, I was like, I got to try to get this done. But you know what? The whole problem with that is you also, you know, I got two theories of that. I think it might have been Arthur Saxon did this. He would set a given amount of time, obviously, and know when it was time to stop. I want to say it was 35 minutes or 45 minutes. I wish I remembered. What he would do is he would have a timer or something set that would go off. Whether he was done or not, he was finished.
Yeah.
Because now, I look at it in two different ways. I always like to complete, but, and this is the but, I understand totally, and I'll tell you why. We want to come back and be restorative for our next workout. And my big thing right now is this. Is it better to walk out? Is it better to complete and be able to come back? Or is it even better when you can take your body and build it to the point where you could take a monster workout and do it in 40 minutes? And I'm talking in excess of a 500-pound squat, in excess of a 500-pound deadlift, floor press. Can you lift stones repeatedly for a half an hour? This is what I'm working on right now. What's your feeling on that?
That
doctor?
Depends on the individual. You know, okay. The marathon
Fair
runners
enough.
Will always point out the fact that there's one little 90-year-old Japanese marathoner who's been marathoning forever, and he's just fine. Well, yeah, he's the exception. Paul Bragg was a vegetarian, had a set of muscles, had a full set of teeth, all of his hair. He was surfing at 96. He's the exception.
Yep.
Most of us will fall under the Bell-shaped curve. We will not be the exception. We are average.
Yeah.
So we need to feel out which works best, whether going by the clock or finishing our workouts or not leaving the gym until we've done all the work that we've set for ourselves to do. We need to just feel it. Like do one thing for a month, do something else for a month, and then do the third thing for a month. See which way our body reacts best. And follow that path.
No, that's excellent advice. Okay. Most people are going to say, well, we know the movements that are going to obviously jack your testosterone up, but I'm going to tell you something, but I want you to lay out what you feel is a program. When you're done, I know you're probably going to know what I'm going to say because I have found, obviously, Strongman for the last 10 years. And I'm going to get into that, but I want you to what do you feel – in your experiences, and you know, anybody that's listened to you over the last year knows that you have a deep, deep hold in the athletic. I don't even want to call it. I'll say strength because I love that word. You've done many things. You're still doing many things. And name anything
even
you
in the
feel in your
repertoire. Lots of stuff.
Just anything in your repertoire that you think that's going to make your balls hang like a bull's got a set.
Squats. Squats, deadlifts, power cleans.
Squats any which way, or do you have a preference?
Nope. Years ago, and I don't even remember what the venue was.
Yep.
Years ago, Dr. Squat, what's his name?
Fred Hatfield.
Thank you. Fred Hatfield taught me.
Yep.
Oh, I can't believe I forgot his name. Oh, yeah. I am
getting old. No, you're not.
To take a wider than shoulder width stance, rotate my hips and knees and toes out 40 degrees.
Yep.
And, you know, from that day on, I went from a 235 squat to a 485 squat.
Son
in like
of a bitch.
In like three, 4 weeks. Just
wow.
By changing my biomechanics. My biomechanics were so wrong.
Yep.
I was basically doing a really narrow front squat. With the weights on my back, and I'd lean over and I'd bend and stuff, and as soon as he changed my position, my back got straight up, and I started slapping weight on the bar.
Yep.
So
body mechanics
exactly.
All the way.
So between the squat, which is like, you know, the Perry Rader said it was the greatest exercise, he was absolutely right.
Yep.
Between the squat and the deadlift, which is almost like the squat, I also like the Jefferson squat.
That's a nice lift.
And any Olympic lift, whether it's a hang clean or a power clean or, you know, any of those Olympic style lifts, when done back to back, 3 to 6 sets, low reps. Well, there's a fellow named Schroeder. He's an exercise PhD out of USC.
Yep.
And he came up with a technique for increasing testosterone after a workout. Now, he admits it only lasts for about an hour to an hour and a half, but he has his students do 3 intense compound joint exercises for about 6 sets of, he starts them off with a warm up of 8 reps, and then they're not allowed to go above 6 for the other 5 sets.
Right.
1 minute rest in between sets, 5 minute rest in between exercises, 3 exercises, they're out of the gym and they're done. Now, he has them do this twice a week, but the second workout in the week, he has them pick entirely different exercises.
Yep.
Because he says that if you do the same exercises twice in 1 week, you'll just blow your joints out. You'll really get stale, and nothing will work.
Absolutely. Plus, it's going to do the one thing we love. It's going to take your testosterone and flush it. That's what it's going to do. You're going to end up having flat balls. and no one wants that.
That's instead of walnuts.
one of the things, squats I love. That's my favorite. Deadlift, trap bar mostly now because of that injury to the bicep that's fixed. But supination to me is the way to go. I don't want to screw around with any of that stuff anymore like that. But I'll tell you what else. I love power cleans. But when I discovered strongman, I'm just going to give 3 movements. Well, it's really a combination of the two, but the first one's going to break it in for the next. Grab a sandbag, start walking.
Yep.
I'm going to tell you right now, you are going to think that you're strangling the earth, literally. And when you walk, your balls will feel like they're slapping your thighs. They'll be so fucking big. All right? I'm telling you the truth. Go out and do that. Number two. Like a lot of people have been sending me news and letters, we are firing lots of people up to lifting stones. I got a great letter the other day. I got to tell you, I got to thank you for the shows and everything you're talking about. They're incredible. I started lifting stones, and I'm hooked. He goes, I'm primal. I sent not only the picture of the warrior you sent me out on my site and out on Facebook, but also I can't think of the Viking, you know, the Viking passage you sent me on the last show. People have been going bananas on that. I've been putting that out there. So
we all need to go get Icelandic girlfriends.
I, you're always welcome to come. I, if everything goes right, we're going to be hopping on Icelandic Air in June. So I haven't announced anything until we know what we're putting together here. Let me tell you something. You go there, you're not going to want to leave. The place is absolutely incredible. But one of the things I got from this gentleman was this. He says, "I primal, prehistoric, all the things that harken back to what men have lost, man." Yeah. And, you know, once you graduate from that sandbag, most likely you're going to go for stones. Now, you can make them. You can have them built. You can go to your local river or someone's brick wall the house is no longer there like we did, and get every stone you want and start that way. And then, obviously, I think another thing that is incredible to do is the farmer's walk. That will jack your tee up like no tomorrow. And another thing that's great, tire flipping. Now, yes. I know people are going to say, well, I don't own a tire and I don't own a stone. Okay, we won't even think about that. But you can go out and buy 50 pounds of play sand. I got news for you. Go to any garden center, buy some bags. You can get them out of anywhere, load them up, break them down, have a set of them from, say, 25 pounds to 70 pounds. Get working with them, and I swear to God, you'll have the best time of your life. And not only that, that not only converts to tea, it converts to real-world strength. It's stuff you do every day. You bend, you pick up, you pull up, all those things, and you can get so creative with these things. It's like it's unbelievable. A tire, no problem. Go to anywhere that sells big truck tires. They would be more than happy to give you anything you want, and some places are so good. Here at my house, they've delivered them here because we can't get them in the back of a truck. You get an 800-pound tire. That's a little bit hard to negotiate in a four-wheel drive pickup. And I'm not going to sit there with two people and try to push that piece of shit in there. I mean, they're going to come up with the crane and dump it, and then I can just flip it to where I got to go. Rocks, I said, very easy to get. You just got to get off your hind end and get over there and do it. But I will tell you this, the people that never did it, I just had a gentleman who lives in Hamburg, Germany, sending me pictures from Norway. Frank, his name is. I'm not giving out his last name. He was in Norway sending me pictures of him lifting stones, and he says it's because of the show. And last weekend, I got a great gift from him. He took and bent a horseshoe for me for the gym out here, so it's on the wall in the garage. So this is the caliber of people we're dealing with, and this kind of stuff, whether it's squats, power cleans, jerks, sandbags, stones, deadlifts, all this great stuff will influence not only your strength to the zenith, but your testosterone. You'll be popping out of your mind. Now, Doc, comment on any of that stuff if you'd like. Go ahead, take it. And I'll do a follow up.
You've just started me thinking in an entirely different direction.
Oh, no. So we're going to get you lifting. Are you going to call me up and tell me you're lifting sandbags
now?
No.
Oh, okay. You mentioned the German fellow, and I thought to myself, yep. I wish I was in München. We're only about a week away from Oktoberfest.
Yeah, it's getting close. Yep, yeah. It's awesome. But what you know, let's go with the idea we've got some real warriors here that really want to learn it. All right, let's go with the idea they've been lifting for 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. You know, they've done some good stuff, but they're really looking now to find a way. You know, you talked about in the beginning of the show, keep doing the same stuff, you start getting stale. Right. You get injured. You get tired of it, and don't let anybody tell you not, because I've had instances where I wanted to walk away from it because prior to doing the dead stop stuff and the stones and everything else we're involved in now, we were doing like a power body, which we did some great stuff. We did the deadlifts, the bent, all that stuff. I got to the point, though, where I was getting very tired of it, no matter how we mixed it up. Yeah. So we've got a student here now that is ready to make the change. They've heard the show. They want to get the three supplements. They want to target what they're doing. Let's talk about how many workouts a week. Obviously, I know when you spoke about that one gentleman who was a coach, you know, it could be over six, and then you're going to go to six, et cetera, et cetera. But let's talk about if I came to you, say intermediate level, said, okay, Dr. Wong, this is what I've been doing. Can we sit down and come up with a program? We know what we're going to take for supplementation to really raise the T. Let's talk about how many days a week you'd have me going. Obviously, you want me to cut off between an hour and a half, or maybe more, or quicker. And let's talk about how we'd break the movements down, say, for 3 days a week.
You know, you start off with the movement that involves the largest amount of muscle mass, mm-hmm. whether it's which of the Olympic lifts would be the power clean.
Yeah.
And then you work into the squat, and then you work into the deadlift. If you are doing the implements, the largest amount of movement would be with flipping the tires.
Yeah.
Then the farmer's walk. Or, no, wait a minute. Now, probably lifting the sandbags and walking with them.
Yep.
So you start off with the largest muscle mass, then you work your way down to the least amount of muscle mass, but always making sure that you're not isolating anything. No curls here, no tricep extensions, no working your pinkies. If you're not working more than one joint, you ain't doing the work.
Yep.
Then keep your rest in between sets to about a minute.
Yep.
Keep your rest in between exercises to no more than five. And when you're done, you're done.
Yeah.
Drop it. Go have a beer. Have a protein shake.
Yep.
Make love to your girlfriend. And that would be a great thing to do right after your exercise, because your T is up.
Yep.
And making love to your girlfriend would increase your testosterone even more.
Absolutely.
Have a couple pointy flicks playing in the background to further increase your testosterone, and you're up in testosterone heaven.
Yep. No, I agree. But it's not that hard to do that. I don't know why. Maybe you can clear this up. Why all the misconception out there?
Oh, I don't know. Everyone has an opinion. Most folks are wrong. But
yeah,
it was either Mark Twain or Dostoevsky who said that most of the people are wrong about everything.
Yeah. Yep.
And a very small minority of the people, an almost exclusive minority, are right, and they're always looked down upon.
Yeah.
So find the guy who's the most demeaned, underrated, looked down on weightlifting philosopher out there, and follow what he's saying, because it'll probably work.
Yep.
Meanwhile, you know, and again, I hearken back to my old experiences with the Weider generation. Bodybuilding.
Yep.
And, you know, 9,000 sets of giant sets and tri-sets and supersets and quad sets and pyramiding up and pyramiding down. Shit, man, your balls just shrink to nothing.
Exactly. But then again, with what most of those dudes were taking, they didn't have to worry about shrinking anymore.
Yeah, you know, the roids shrink their balls for them. Yeah.
I'm telling you, you know what it is? All this stuff that we're into now, you know, we got to use Facebook and all these different things for business and et cetera, et cetera. And it's a great medium, I mean, to talk to people all over the place, that, like with me with the show. But I'll tell you what, there's just so much misinformation all over the internet. And I can understand why people are very confused at this point with a lot of things. Not only they're not sure where their place is in life anymore, but, you know, when it comes to doing any type of physical stuff, where do we go here? What do we do? Do we add more? Do we subtract? Now, I'll just give an instance. We've got Dr. Jeffrey Smith. He's an MD down in Arizona. And this is a guy, when he started, he was like 180 pounds, so I've been training him for a year. He wanted to learn how to do dead stop squats, all right, right from the parallel position. Mm-hmm. I told him, you know, how to measure it, where he needed to be, et cetera, et cetera. He couldn't do any more than 150 pounds off the straight rods, no rebound, a year ago. Well, almost 2 weeks ago now, we've been working on a 300-pound dead stop squat. As of last week, he broke the record. He hit 303 for a single at 184 pounds.
Bravo.
Okay, how many people are going to pull off 153-pound squat? He doubled his dead stop squat in 1 year. I mean, that's incredible. And now I'm training him with a lot of stuff with sheets of plywood and different other pieces because he feels he's got a weakness. He had some medical stuff done, and he had a hernia, and at times that bothers him. So I've got a little bit different idea on some of that, and we are executing it now. And once this is done in the next 9 workouts, we will be gearing up for a 405 next year dead stop squat, and I'm training him now overhead dead stop, which is going to be pretty interesting. Obviously, there's going to be some conditioning thrown in. It's going to be all sandbag work, neck work, work the fingers, obviously, and that's going to be it. Now, I'll tell you right now, that's going to be brutal enough, but wait till he starts succeeding overhead with everything else we're going to do. He won't be 184 pounds this time, probably even at Christmas. Nope. I would expect he'll probably be about a buck 91. When we go after the 405 next September, I would expect him to be an even 220. Now, if you don't think this kind of stuff does not build manliness and strength, and it's not oozing from every part of your body, you don't belong doing anything, man. I know everybody likes to do different things. That's fine. Go ahead. But there's one thing I can tell you about rack training, which I think you want to bring your testosterone up like insane. That's the key right there. But here's the big thing with any of this stuff. You got to find out how to do it properly. You've got to either go out and hire somebody to teach you, or you got to be really smart and not be afraid to experiment. And most of my teaching out there has been experimentation. One thing I always harked on was be in an environment where it's very safe. Don't count on people to squat, you know, to spot you when you're squatting, because I got news for you. Chances are you could get a bad, bad injury problem, because I've seen so many people turn their back or they'd walk away or whatever. You can't have that. No. The power rack is your best, not only a motivator, but it's the best kept secret as far as, how's this? Let's take some safety into account here. So I think, between everything we talked about, I think also getting into some very severe power rack training, obviously, we've talked about here on shows, partials, isometric holds. We've talked about, you know, loading the bar, stripping the bar back down, and going after reps with them. There's a million different things you can do, but I will tell you this. Go out and try it tonight if you've never done it. Go out and get two, make sure you got four long rods, because you're going to need a set to pull against. Just do like I did the other night. Take an Olympic bar, put it, I don't know, let's do the deadlift. Put it at mid-shin, have another set of rods, say three holes up, so that'd be about 6 inches. Take that thing dead stop off the rods. I know it's going to be light, but just do it slow. Learn how to drag it across the front of you. Stand up with your form correct. I want you to do a clean grip and pull it against that other set of rods and hold it like a man. Watch what's going to happen to you, because I'll tell you what, you could do 10 sets of 10 with that, and I guarantee you tomorrow morning you'll be sorer than you have with anything you've probably done in your lifting career. So that's another thing to really think about. Doc, obviously I'm going to ask you about the power rack, and I know you've had experience with it. A power rack program, in your estimation, that is put together correctly, and obviously this is something that they would have to come to somebody that's got a lot of knowledge about this. As you and I both know, you can get overtrained very quickly with it, you can get hurt with it, and you got to know how to set things up to do it. What's your advice if someone wants to either explore it, they've done it a little bit, or want to experiment with it? See, I like the old things of like York Barbell with Bill March.
Yes.
Now, people will say to you, he only did two sets. I said, do you know what he was doing on two sets? But go ahead.
You talked about guys who just oozed strength. You know, having been around both Olympic lifters, power lifters, and bodybuilders for most of my health, for all of my life,
yep.
Bodybuilders don't have that ooze. The power lifters look big,
yep.
But they look slow and lumbersome.
Yep.
The Olympic lifters have that ooze. They just look. If you stood next to Bill March, the guy was so thick.
Yep.
That his muscles look freaking bulletproof.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Sergio Oliva and Larry Scott did not look like they were bulletproof.
Yeah.
And actually, Sergio wasn't. His wife shot him 6 times.
Absolutely.
But
yeah, pretty close.
You know, but Bill March had that really just you knew the guy was strong. He didn't have to show off. He didn't have to wear, you know, the super tight T-shirts and have six-pack abs and look like a freaking beach boy. You just didn't want to have anything to do with the guy.
No way.
If you were going to cause him trouble.
Yep.
And he had that oozing of manliness and that oozing of strength, and that all came from the power rack.
Yep.
Let me tell you a story. Years ago in the late 70s, my second professional job, I ran an executive health and fitness center down in the Wall Street area of Manhattan.
Yep.
And it was a Nautilus-based fitness center because Nautilus was the big thing then.
Yep.
And there was a lawyer accountant who was one of our clients, and he was moving just about every weight on every stack those machines had, probably also moving most of the weights on the dual leg press machine, which I think went up to almost 500 pounds.
Wow.
And he didn't feel he was strong enough.
Yep.
And I agreed with him because the years that I trained Nautilus, my hands got thinner because,
yep,
hell, there's nothing to grip. There's nothing to move. There's nothing to whatever. So to make up for the lack, we installed power racks. We got the old York power rack, that old skinny, narrow power rack.
Yep. Yep.
And bolted onto that piece of plywood.
Yep.
And we put two of those along with Olympic bars in the gym.
Yep.
And you know, you could tell who the really serious trainees were and who the casual fitness people were by who wandered over to the power rack.
Yep.
And this lawyer accountant fellow would live in the power rack.
Oh shit.
And talk about oozing strength. Oozing manliness. You know, I'm sorry, he's the biggest, strongest accountant I've ever seen.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, you know what it is, Doc, too? A lot of people, this is my feeling with anything we do here. You're going to, when you start to understand this stuff, I'm not talking about going around people that, you know, hey, I'm big, man, you know, all that crap. You know, who gives a shit about any of that? What I'm talking about is this. I've never met anybody that once they got connected with somebody that was very good in their craft, even if they had a lot of doubt, and that you'll always hear them say, I don't want to get big, which is a joke, or I don't think I'd want to do that, all right? Let me say this. Very rarely have I met anybody that got into this properly, like when we talk about learning how to lift sandbags. Now, I'll tell you what. There's three movements that we do here to warm up, and we're going to start filming them all over again. Because this is all off Leonard Schwartz's stuff he wrote years ago with Heavy Hands and John McKean. Number one is the squat pull-up. Number two is a long strength good morning. And number three is you're going to walk with the heavy hands, more of a cross-country skiing style, you know, arms up over the heart. All right. And then sandbags. I'll tell you what. I could take somebody doing those three warm-ups and the way I've designed these sandbag routines, mm-hmm, I'll turn you into anything you want to be. Now, after we get off that, and this is something very few people I've ever heard say, I could take you with an empty bar to start and put you in the power rack, and I'll start shredding fat off your body like someone is like, you remember Pac-Man? You'll think Pac-Man's all over you. And there's no bullshit with that. There's certain things that you can get yourself metabolically joined in with, and with the right type of training, and as we said, get your ass out of the gym quickly, where you can be very good. Now, I've had people that are overweight, that have joint issues. I'll do those three movements with them. Obviously, it'll be a break-in because you're never going to be foolish and hurt somebody. But it's all very low impact with very high-end production. You can take somebody that's in very bad shape and not kill their central nervous system or destroy their joints if they've got issues with them, and you can come out of that like a monster. Now, usually what I've found is at that point they're very open to something else. That's when you bring in the sandbags. And if they get very good with the sandbags, then we're going to get into doing isometric holds in the power rack. And we can go into that on another show someday. But I'm going to tell you right now, you start learning how to do holds, I don't care what you look like, a year from now you'll come out like a whole different human being. So comment on any of that and whatever else we want to hit.
You know, doing the isometric work on the power rack takes a very different mindset.
Yep.
Most folks want to be dynamic. They want to be moving.
Yep.
And lifting a bar up against the stop and then pressing it up against the stop and counting and breathing and, you know, remembering to take that breath so you don't faint.
Yeah, exactly. You get a tomato head if you don't.
Your vision begins to have this red tinge to it.
Yeah, and
you too much blood being forced into your eyeballs.
and you remember too? I remember you do a heavy lift like that, a hold, and I'd start seeing those bubbles.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's telling you your blood pressure's ready to blow out, man.
So folks, if you have an aneurysm, don't do this at all.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll be on the floor. Come pick me up, right? Jesus Christmas, man. But you know, that's the thing. The power rack is a forgotten piece, like we've talked about with the dip, with the power clean, with the bent row, with the pullover. These are all result-producing programs, exercises that work. I have a feeling a lot of it is due to we don't want to push, and it's never been shown. Most people would probably say to you, well, there's no results to prove it. Come over here, I'll show you results. You know what I mean? It's like that. But, you know, we've really lent some big stuff out here today, and I just feel that you've got every component here right down from the training to the supplementation. But let's hit one more thing that you and I love to hit, and that's the whole mental attitude, because we know low T is going to be low mental attitude, not much aggression, not much strength, and definitely not wanting to get off the couch. So we've got everything in place now. We've got them taking your three supplements. We've got them now on the movements we want to do, the high-end T movements. We get them out of there. I'm going to get them out of there in an hour because we're going to assume that they haven't done much since high school. And, you know, they're all the guys that would tell you now, well, I gave it up, but I could kick your ass back in my day. And it's like, yeah, okay. You know, all right, here we go. So what do we do with them mentally, man? So we're going to have to kind of give them a little shock here. What are we going to do to motivate them?
Do you want to be the way you are now, or do you want to be the way you were?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's beautiful right there.
Want to be Droopy Dog?
Yep.
Or do you want to be Superman?
Yeah.
Take a look at yourself, especially look down at your waistline. If you can't see your wally-wally, because your tummy's hanging over it, if you're sitting in the couch and it feels really good and you could just fall asleep there most of the time, if you're becoming one with the universe by sitting in your recliner, you really want to be that way? I mean,
no way.
Think of how you had drive when you were in your teens and 20s.
Yep.
Think of how you had motivation. Think of how when a gal just walked by, you didn't even have to think about sex. It just got hard and started pressing up against your zipper.
Yep. No, you're right. You're right. I mean, but you know what it is too, though? We as human beings are, I'm trying to think of the word I want to use. I'll say we live kind of patterns.
Yep.
We get used to something. We kind of find it hard to get out. And, you know, when you're not used to feeling like a 18 to 23-year-old that's got high amounts of tea, that still likes to run the nightlife, that likes to go in, even though all you're working are your pecs and arms because you don't give a shit about your chicken legs.
when you take off your pants, the cows like to see big thighs and butt.
Yeah, I want to tell the guys out there, I don't know, maybe you are finding women that like that, but if your arms are bigger than your legs, you got a problem.
Yeah. You can walk okay? on your hands.
Yeah. Hey, you want to meet me? What the hell are you doing upside down? Well, I look better on my arms than I do on my legs. You know, I mean, you know, and not only that, glutes, we can get into all kinds of thrusts and all that shit. But
the only excuse for guys who don't work out their lower bodies was a fellow at R&J back when I was training there as a kid who was a fireman, and he'd had a lot of lower back injuries. He was a competitive bodybuilder back in the 50s, had a beautiful upper body. Still had a beautiful upper body in the late 60s, early 70s when I was working out there. But he had, like, no legs at all. But he had an excuse. The guy had, like, three herniated discs, spinal stenosis, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So he had an excuse for not really training his lower body. If you don't have the excuse, then you damn well better be training your lower body because it carries you around. Without it, all you've got is show muscle. If your pelvis, if your thighs, if your abs, if your lower back, the core of your body isn't strong, then you've built your house on sand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the worst of the worst. You and I both know when you have a very weak lower body, you know, anything could happen to you out in the street. You know, when you're lifting, the whole thing. And what I always read with a lot of that, why a lot of these guys didn't want to do it, I can't believe, and this was back even in the 60s, they didn't want to thicken their waist because they thought that would take away when they were competing. And maybe yes, maybe no, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather have a thicker waist and some big-ass hips and a big hip girdle than something that basically, if the wind blows hard on you, it'll knock you the hell over.
Yep.
You know, think about it. I mean, that's the thing, but everybody likes to do their gig, and go ahead and do it, but I'm talking about people that are listening to this show, our family, where it's like they're always looking for something to get ahead of the curve, to build bigger, and the majority of the men and women here are very mentally into it, and they're always ready to learn, but the ones out there, you know, I don't know about you, but I meet so many people out, you know, wherever I'm going. And I love to, you know, look at people and say, wow, you know, it's like you can tell the ones that are more athletic than others. I was at a co-op today. It was pretty funny. The guy was there with his girl and no legs. He was all arms. And he's sitting there, standing there at the counter in front of me, and he's flexing his arms the whole time. So he's pushing his hands down as hard as he could on the counter, and you can see the meat of his tri hanging out, and he's got a big vein running up his bicep. And I'm saying to myself, this seems like 20 years ago, you know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm standing there, and he's looking at me, and I'm just like, I don't know, ask if you want, you know what I mean? But you're not going to see me sitting there trying to pose something if you can't tell that
Posers
are – put it this way. If you can't tell by the size of my shoulder girdle something's going on here, you don't know anything because you could mistake them for shoulder pads at times. So the whole point of the matter is this. The mental end is going to dictate, but I'll tell you right now, the mental end's got to have that fierce training, whether it's eights, sixes, five sets of five, five singles, ten singles, isometrics, farmer's walk, clean and press, or if you just want to do power cleans, that's fine right there. Deadlift, squat, farmers, tire flips, you got the products there, Andy Essence, you know, the zinc, the magnesium, you got everything to get yourself kick-started. And I feel, too, I know we got to establish it, like you said, what were you before, what are you now? But I'll tell you what, one thing I can say is this. Once you start doing that type of training, it might take a few workouts, but you're going to see a definite difference in your mental thinking. Not unless you're so bad you're going to wilt and quit, and that does happen. But I'd say for the majority of guys out there, because I don't care what's going out in the world today, guys don't want to be weak. Whether they've been pressured into it, whether they said, you know, you need to find your feelings, which is a crock of horse shit. You know, I don't want my friends to think, you know, you're a bully, or I don't want this, that. It's always this thing. If you're going to hang around people that want to dictate what you are and who you're going to be, I don't care if you're married to them or not. Get the fuck out of there. If you don't, you're going to be not only unhappy, you're like Dr. Wong said, can you look down and even see anything below your navel? I mean, that's important, because right there, bellies are a dangerous thing after a while. You know, you can get in all kinds of blood sugar problems. Who knows?
And all
okay?
That yellow fat hanging off of your belly is making estrogen.
Estrogen, there you go. And I used to love to hear guys say, well, you know, the heavier I am, the more you can lift. That's not true. It does help out. Let me tell you, you got to have body weight to lift stones and big deadlifts. But there comes a critical mass where it doesn't do anything for you, and you'll start going the other way. So there's so many things you got to explore to do this. But you know something? Even if you can't lift weights yet, start doing some body weight stuff. Learn how to do push-ups, sit-up. Do the old stuff like they did in the military. Do jumping jacks, sit-ups, and push-ups. Give it a whirl for a while. Go out and walk. Grab two bricks. Bricks cost nothing. You can get them anywhere. Put a brick in each hand, and don't get pissed off at anybody and throw it through the front window, okay? But seriously.
Depending on where you walk, you may need a brick to lay upside somebody's head.
Hey, Doc, you'll be sitting there watching TV, somebody that's been on the couch for 20 years, and you'll throw a brick through his window and knock him off the head, knock some sense into him for a change. But what I'm saying is we're offering you so many easy alternatives, man. You don't need to spend a lot of money to do this. All you need is to get started. Doc, add anything you want. Give out all your information. I'll give mine and stay on the line if you would, please.
Right. You know, society has tried to civilize us. Ever since the feminazi movement of the 70s, society has tried to deball men. Deep down inside, guys know they're still guys.
Yep.
And guys want to be guys. If you're not lisping and taking it up the ass, then you want to be manly. So find that inner voice. Listen to that inner voice. Start moving. This entire thing, whether you pick up bricks, whether you walk, whether you lift stones, just start moving. Get up off the damn couch and start moving, and then progress into the rest of the things that will remind you physically, mentally, and spiritually about what manhood, not pseudo-womanhood, but manhood is all about. And the primary things about manhood is that men need to be strong to protect themselves and their kin. Weak men are failures because weak men cannot protect their families. And guys, we're getting to the point where society is about to blow itself the hell up.
Yep.
You damn well better be strong because your family needs to survive. Or maybe they don't. You know, if you don't think your family needs to survive, then don't do jack shit. If you think your family needs to survive, then get stronger so that you can implement what needs to be done to help ensure their survival.
I'm with you. You're not going to get any argument out of me with that. It's just, you know, it reminds me back to the last Rambo movie when he'd gone back over, I think it was Vietnam, and he'd been living there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And, whoever it was in this army where they threatened everybody, took their young sons, you know, the whole deal. Yeah, and I'll never forget that one part because when you were talking about that, that reminded me of it. They captured a bunch of them. I think it was two or three guys that were in the missionaries there.
Yeah.
And there was one guy when the commander looked out, and he was a real scumbag. He used to rape the young boys and all that. He looked out at this one. And he was the one that was crying. And I believe the big hogs, because you put them in with pigs like that, they'll kill you and rip you in pieces. Mm-hmm. He was the one they picked to throw in the hog pen.
Yep.
Let me tell you something. Most of those guys, anyways, they're ruthless only because they've got people behind them. They're not going to screw with a guy that they can tell just by eye level what they are. It's very important. You know, when we saw that crap going on in the United States where they're playing a knockout game, who are the people they were picking on? The weak and the old.
Right.
The weak and the old, okay? If you look like you mean business, and I don't mean look either, you mean business. I can tell, I've said this before on shows, necks, hands, wrists, the way you walk, the way you conduct yourself, because there's a certain way a strong individual moves. And I don't mean the guys that walk like they got a stick up their ass either.
Exactly,
the posers. What I'm talking about is like Dr. Wong addressed Bill Pearl. I mean, that guy could tear a license plate in half. What do you think he could do to your flesh? Seriously, you don't want to F around with people like that unless you're a professional fighter, and that doesn't guarantee you're not going to get your ass pasted, too. It only takes one shot, and it's all over. What I'm saying to everybody out there, it's vitally important, especially we're talking about men with testosterone production. You need to get in the weight room. I don't care what anybody tells you. The weight room eventually is going to be not only the king, but it's going to be your survival for the rest of your life. Secondly, you need the proper things to ingest supplement-wise to make that happen, too. And thirdly, and this is one of the most important things, you need to get your mental compass right. And the things that are important to you right now probably aren't. So you know what you do? You say, fuck it, and you go after the weights and the body weight and the supplements and the right food and the restoration. You can get that down and you get in with the right mix. A year from now, you are not – no one's going to know you. I'm telling you right now. Not only that, I meet people that I've known that I went to college with and stuff. Here's what they'll say to me, Doc. You still lifting? And I'm like, what? You still lifting? I said, well, what do you think? Well, obviously, I said, you know, I've got a business now. It's all incorporated into that. You know, I've been to Iceland twice. I want to go there, Scotland, and obviously Spain next year. Jesus, you know, I didn't think you'd be doing it still, you know. And I said, well, look at you. You know, what are you doing? Well, you know, I do some stuff. Once in a while I run or I go and work out. I don't even go any further than that because when you're asking me dumb questions like that, you know, I don't really want to mix it up with you or get even into a conversation about that. But what I'm saying to you is what we do here is a lifestyle. It's not a hobby.
Yep.
If you're going to go into this as a hobby, you're going to fail.
And those guys will die.
They will die. And they're going to be the ones.
Maybe their genes deserve not to be passed on.
Exactly. And they're going to be the ones like the little dictator in Rambo takes the little fat guy who's crying and throws him in with the hogs
right.
And they kill him.
Yep.
Okay? That's what it's going to be. It might sound harsh, but here's the deal. As they say, it's better. Well, they used to say dojo. It's better to die out, fail, cry, do all those things that you don't want to do, but do them in the dojo because when you go out in the real world and you portray yourself that way, you're going to get your ass handed to you.
Yep.
Period. Period. You go to competition and you're waiting for people to cheer you, you're dead. Period. That's the idea of this. And if you get the balls down the road, start training alone and get a hold of us because I'll tell you what, you can come on a show with Doc and myself. We will have a three-way Skype conversation, and we'll listen to everything you've been doing, and we'll go from there. So, Doc, give out your website, anything you want to do. I'm going to give mine out, and if you'd hang on the line, please, I'd appreciate
sure.
it.
Sure. As I sent Eric a picture of an old Viking, and it had this passage underneath the Viking picture. Somewhere deep in your memory, you know the ancient ways. This is why you find yourself drawn by a deep-seated urge, an urge so powerful you don't even question it or fight it. You long for it. If we find that urge and it's been buried, buried deep inside, your mother started burying it, your sister started burying it, your wives started burying it because they wanted docile men. Society
yep.
wants docile, estrogen-driven men, not testosterone-driven citizens. They want estrogen-suppressed subjects. If you follow that urge, throw off your little granny glasses, put on a decent set of aviators, throw away your 7-pound dumbbells, pick up
yep.
a kettlebell,
yep.
go do some manly stuff, and find yourself. follow that urge. Bring out your manliness. Let your balls grow some.
Yeah. Yeah.
And to help you along, you can use my supplements.
Absolutely.
You can go to drwongsessentials.com to read my insane stuff. You can go to drwong.us. And to listen to my rantings, you can go to drwongradio.com.
By the way, I took one of your testosterone articles just to let you know. I know you gave me permission. I put it up the other night.
Oh, thank you.
You should have seen the responses we were getting out on Facebook. It was unreal. It's just men are starving for this, Doc.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding you when I say that. You know, we say a lot of things, but I got to tell you, men want to know. I agree with the warrior, the Viking that you just read. I don't. They might have it buried, but every once in a while, when that thing called T and that primal feeling in you starts rearing its head, I think this is a lot of confusion for a lot of men. But I'll tell you what, there's not one of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you wear makeup and a dress. Every now and then, that feed is going to come into you, and you're not going to know what to do. I have that hitting me constantly at times. It's like, I've said this before, we've got to turn the corner on a lot of things here. Iceland's been calling me for years, man, and it's like I'm gonna collect. And I'm telling you right now, you get a little taste of this stuff in your blood, and it's like being bitten, man, by whatever you want to bite you, and it's gonna turn you into maybe the wolf or the Green Hulk or whatever. But I don't care how you equate it. It's roaming in all of us, so I'm telling you right now, stop burying it and let it come out, because you'll be happier in hell. You'll be a better man for that in everything you do. So that's how I'll leave it there. Do you got everything out, Doc?
Sure did. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, oh, anytime. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is streaming radio 24/7. Don't forget to go out to the website, download the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, and our new 30-day program, both our ebooks. Leave your email address, and you can download them automatically. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. Right now, they're free. Those were two chargeable products before. We want people to come in, look at our stuff, sign up, and stay with us for the next 30 years. Be part of our family. If you have any questions, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. Nobody's giving stuff like that away. I mean, that 12 modules we do, the winner's circle, I mean, I've never seen anything out there like that, and that's me, totally me, doing all 12 modules. Also, too, when you look at Strength Times Power, I use that for everybody here. It's kind of a vanilla product, and I don't even like calling it that, but when I call it vanilla, I can plug that into anyone, and that's how I start stuff, whether it's sandbags, kettlebells, whatever. That was the program that we used exclusively for Dennis when he lost 43 pounds, and he was very close to being diabetic at that point. So my stuff works. Give it a shot. Also, too, and I want to hear comments on the show on anything. You can go out to motivationandmuscle.com. Leave a comment. Please keep it professional on the up and up. I don't want any BS going on here. That's not what we're about. Also, too, if you'd like Dr. Wong and I to do a specific show, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give them words of wisdom, inspiration. Five words can change your life. I promise you that. Secondly, as my mom said, and I'll tell you, she said it to me even the other day when we were talking, and I think it's some of the best advice you could get. You know, when you see someone, don't be afraid to say hello or give them a smile, because I'm telling you right now, there's a lot of lonely people out there. There's a lot of people struggling every day, and we're here. We're going to change it, I'm telling you. You know, when people say to me 1 out of 10, I always say bullshit, 10 out of 10. I don't think on low numbers with anything. Also, too, if you're going to go out and lift today, tonight, bend it, break it, push it, press it, pull it, squat it. Pretty easy stuff. Carry. Carries, carries, carries. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone, says in Blood Red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. We dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in our path. I live on those three words, and I hope you will too. They're very important. Just think about those three words. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls, and I mean that. And as Russell Fur said, and he says he's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping through my speakers. Once again, it was today, and it was magnified big time. Thanks, Russell. We'll say that for the next 30 years. I'm going to leave you with a few things before Dr. Wong and I sign off. Frank Klein, who was probably the greatest college professor I ever had, all my business courses, repetition, repetition, repetition. He said that to the point where you're like, give it a rest. I say it now more than ever because it's vital to your survival and mine too. You have to repeat the good things in your life, especially if you're in a business. Secondly, my father, among many things he said, be a leader, not a follower. That's what we were talking today. When you're doing that stuff, you take a leadership role. When you're not laying on the couch eating Doritos, you're taking a leadership role. It's far better to go out and help and offer things to people than sit there like a nothing and wait for it to happen, because what it'll do is it'll come at you and rip your head right off you. I've seen it so many times. And as my good friend, mentor too, John Ridge, he was my chiropractor for many years. He was like, I lost my dad pretty early. John was like a father figure. He would have been my father's age. I used to go to him every Friday afternoon to get work done. He's a guy I thoroughly miss. He was very instrumental in pushing me with the business. And I'll tell you what, John would walk every patient to the door, and he said two words, and it makes me smile every time I say it. Keep smiling. You could have a 180 day right then and there and turn 360 on a dime, and it would change everything. Two words, keep smiling. I thank all these men who have been in my life and were real men. They were real men, but they were good men to people. And never associate that with weakness. You wouldn't want to piss off any one of those three, believe me. You don't want to mess with that stuff. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends we're coming for them. We're not knocking on your door. We're going to kick the fucking thing right through. Dr. Wong, before we got on the air and right now, I always say the best show ever, but I got to tell you, it is really an honor to work with you, and I mean that wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Your caring and passion is incredible, and you've been nothing but a mentor and a very, very good friend, a family member. As far as I'm concerned, you'd be welcome in my home anytime. And I can't say that enough about everybody. This I don't know if everybody realizes this. We are doing exceptional things. We are excellence. There's a revolution that's happening here. This show is blowing up bigger and bigger and bigger. I want 1 million listeners next year at this time. You can laugh if you want, but if you know me, I'm going to do everything in my power to do 1 million or more. We're going to get this show out all over the world, and we're doing it now. I love this stuff. I love everybody on here, and everybody brings it when we do that. So Dr. Wong will be on with us next month. So for Dr. William Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. Don't forget about the Andy Essence, the zinc, and the magnesium. If you're going to implement something like this, take the best stuff. Stop pissing your money away in health food stores that half of the products maybe has 1% of what they're saying. Call Dr. Wong. Email him. I know for sure you will either hear back from him verbally or you'll get an email, and he always answers your questions. So go out there, look at his stuff, and you know, let him know that you heard the show and this is what you want to do. So for Dr. William Wong, this is Eric Fiorello. Like I said, we'll have Dr. Wong on next month. All I can tell you is this, everybody. You got the ability to do great things. You know what the problem is? You let people tell you you're nothing. Don't let anybody tell you that. You're something. Welcome to our family, and we want you here for the next 30 years. Thanks, everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.